This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
LOI Wrap Up.
Catch live and exclusive commentary of the League of Ireland Men's Premier Division.
All season on Off the Ball.
Welcome along to this week's edition of the LOI Wrap Up. I'm Ross Flanagan. On this week's episode, Cork secure promotion, Shells hold Rovers in Tallaght, and it's the FAI Cup quarterfinal weekend. But first, in the sole Premier Division match last night, a superb Ed McGuinty save in the second half kept Shelburne from scoring and settling the Ringsend derby, with both teams coming away with a point. Shamrock Rovers welcomed the league return of captain Pico Lopez following his domestic competition suspension, but the Hoops could not find the net, with the match ending in a nil-all draw. Vinnie Perth was alongside Ben Silence for a live and exclusive commentary last night and had this to say at full time.
Well, that was their game in hand, Vinnie. It did feel a little bit tense around the place.
It's not done and dusted now, Ben. It's not a coronation. As you said, most of us still expect Rovers to go and win this league. But, you know, two draws in a row hasn't been brilliant from them. I think they can do a little bit more. I think the one team you would expect. The winner of tomorrow will take huge confidence out this weekend, particularly if it's Bowes. They're in really good form. I think if Bowes win, knowing they have to play Shamrock Rovers, they'll feel like they can put a little bit of pressure on them.
Ben then caught up with Shelburne manager John Russell, who gave an update about the Paddy Barrett situation.
Oh, huge, huge. I think the cup's definitely a special thing for Derry City fans in this club, and being a part of it, being a part of winning one, being a part of losing one. So it's a special day out for fans, family and friends. So I'm sure, there's no point in me, I don't need to ask, I don't need to tell them, they'll be there, and I'm sure that the voices and the noise will be through the roof, and it'll be a good day Sunday.
Meanwhile, Hoops manager Stephen Brady spoke to in-house club media following the result.
Yeah, there was moments, periods of the game we controlled, and then those periods of the game Shelburne controlled. We had chances, they had chances. So maybe a draw was a fair result. So there was moments for the first 26, 27 minutes we controlled the game, then we got a little bit sloppy. They controlled it for the last 15, say. And it was similar in the second half. We both had our spells. None of us could take our chances. But like I said, a point and we move on.
Rovers now sit 6 points clear at the top of the table, while Shelburne stay in fifth on 36 points, two ahead of Derry City and Galway, and four behind Dundalk. Elsewhere, FAI Cup quarterfinal weekend kicked off as Galway United booked their place in the semi-final with a 2-1 win over Drogheda United in Sutherland Lamp Park. Brandon Kavanagh opened the scoring for the hosts a quarter of an hour into the game, with Stephen Walsh levering the scoring just 8 minutes later. Both sides stayed level throughout the match until Mark Doyle received a second yellow card for simulation, meaning the Boynesiders would finish the match with 10 men. And that man advantage proved vital for Galway as Lee Devitt got the winner 8 minutes from time, ensuring John Caulfield's side's progression to the next round. His assistant Richie Holland spoke to LOI TV following the win.
Oh, fantastic goal from Lee. We've been saying to him all season, Joe, he scored a lot of goals last year in the first division and he gets himself into good positions and stuff like that, and look, it's a great finish. Fantastic way to win any cup game, you know. Lee's done a job for us in different positions as well, you know. He's played left back, he's played as a wing back, you know, and he's gone in there in the tent today. Look, we've had a tough week. We've had an illness in the camp, you know, and it's been a tough week of training and stuff like that, and we knew coming up here tonight was going to be a massive test for us, you know, and we're glad that we've passed it.
Drogs manager Kevin Doherty spoke to in-house club media about the sending off for Mark Doyle.
It's a difficult one because he's not looking, he's not diving as far as I can see. Like, he gets there first and you can see anyone with a pair of eyes can see there's contact. Is it enough for a penalty? I don't know. And Kevin O'Sullivan is a fantastic referee. One of the best now. But I don't think he's trying to con anyone. Feels a contact, there's 100% contact in field, but it is the turning point of the game, because again, we started the second half so well, we were the better team, we went after them, even though they had a good breeze and all behind them. But again, like, these decisions of, and here we go, I'm feeling sorry, but this stuff has happened to us all year, like it really has, and when it looks against you, it's against you. But what the biggest thing was, like, for me was, even if it gone down to 10 men, I thought we were the more likely to score, I really did. And I have to be very, very proud of the players for that. I thought they were absolutely brilliant.
In the other quarterfinal of the night, Waterford cruised past struggling Sligo Rovers as they comfortably won 3-0 in the ORC to make it to the last four. An early goal from Patrick Amann put the hosts 1-0 up in the first half, while Tommy Lonergan added a second, 5 minutes into the second half. The tie was decided soon after when a cross from Evan McLaughlin was deflected by Sligo's Ollie Denham into the net. Waterford manager Graham Coughlin spoke to Adrian Johnson following the win.
I thought Sligo was very good. I thought they set up really well. They were comfortable with the ball. They dropped they had two strikers. They dropped one down into the 10, and that causes a little bit of problems with the overloads, a little bit like the top teams do in the division. So hats off to Percy, hats off to Darren. He was tactically astute, done very, very well there, and causes a number of issues. Probably fortunate to go in 1-0 up by half time. I thought Sligo were the better team in the first half, but we tweaked things. We had a few words at half time, we made a couple of adjustments, and I think in the second half we probably came out on top, not only on the scoreline but performance wise, quality wise and possession wise. I thought we were excellent in the second half.
Aldrin also called up a bit of red manager Darren Purse.
That could have been a very different first half. The difference between the two sides tonight, especially that from the first half, was they took their opportunities when they got it. Their box and our box were two different, so totally different. We created some real good opportunities that I thought the boys played some great football to get there. They were. They probably dominated the whole of the first half, and you walk in 1-0 down, So for me, that's the disappointing thing. When you are on top, you have to punish teams, and we didn't do that today. But you have to question them, but you also have to learn. You have to give them the answers as well sometimes. It's different with more experienced players. They tend to know what's gone wrong. Mm. They tend to know how they can deal with it. The younger players don't. You have to tell them sometimes. And listen, we've had a chat in there. We'll do some analysis and have a look at the game from today, and we'll go into that next week, and hopefully we can learn fast and put the right of the wrongs from tonight.
There are two more quarterfinals to be played this weekend, as at 4 o'clock this evening, St Patrick's Athletic play host to Dublin rivals Bohemians in Richmond Park. Pats come into the match off a 2-0 loss to Waterford last week, while Bows are riding high following a 3-0 home win over Sligo Rovers. Both teams have a win over another in the league this season, while also drawing nil-all during opening weekend in the Aviva Stadium. Saints midfielder Zach Abbasetti spoke to Jamie Moore for Pats in-house club media ahead of this evening's tie.
Yeah, everyone's looking forward to it. These are the games you want to be a part of as a footballer. You want to be involved in games that mean something, high pressure games where it's all or nothing. So now everyone's looking forward to it. We've had a good few days training, and we're ready to go. Yeah, definitely. I think Dublin derbies are games that are decided off little moments and small margins. So it's just making sure we're on the right side of them margins and we give nothing stupid away, and we know that the quality we have, it'll take care of itself.
Our own Stephen Doyle will be at the tie this evening, so look out for all post-match from both managers across all the off-the-ball social channels. In the last quarter-final, Derry City take on Dundalk at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium at 4 o'clock tomorrow evening. Derry come off a 3-0 draw with league leader Shamrock Rovers last Sunday, while Dundalk picked up their first league win since June with a 3-2 Loud Derby win over Drogheda United. Derry interim manager Mark Connolly spoke to Derry City in-house media ahead of tomorrow's tie.
It'd be remiss of me not to ask about Paddy Barrett. I know you were asked about him yesterday. Yeah. Later on yesterday, he put some tweets out about his time at the club as well. Is there any more insight you can kind of give us on the situation? Because I think everyone feels a little bit in the dark.
Yeah, no, there's no more information really than what I said yesterday. Like, you didn't select him for the squad tonight. We've obviously come up. You mentioned Oran Casey there. He's missed a large chunk of the season, and I've real belief in Oran. Cam's obviously signed a new contract. Obviously, Milan's come in and done really well in the second half. So I look at the players that we have tonight and top class performance. We need to keep doing that. Now we've got 8 games to go, as many points as we can, because we want to chase the teams ahead of us.
Is the door still open for Paddy to come back? Because those tweets last night felt like, didn't almost feel like the end of the line, but they felt fairly definitive.
And look, there's going to be noise and talk outside of our group, but it said my focus is on the players that were here tonight and performing for Shelburne. We want to win matches. We haven't won enough this season, but I believe in the group we have in the dressing room.
So the door is open for him to come back?
Well, for me, it's about the group tonight. I said, next game, we've got Friday, Monday, opportunity to get 6 points on the board. Really happy what I saw tonight, and yeah, we'll move into the next games.
On Wednesday's LOI pod, Vinnie Perth and Garber Glynn debated Derry City struggles.
Yeah, what a game. It's set up lovely. I mean, Derry, to me, since Mark's come in, if you look at the results individually, they've been good, I think. Beating, getting through in the Cup of UCD, beating Sligo 2-0. Not a bad performance against Bows, but as you say, give up a lot of goals. 3-1 up, they missed 2 chances against Shamrock Rovers, and they are Taylor Smith and Chapman. They go 4-1 up in that game. I know Rovers were still empty in the bench, and it would have turned into a game. I think they go on, they won the game. So the signs that I've seen since Mark Connolly came on board is exactly the signs that I wanted to see. Over the last couple of years, Derry have kind of moved away from the entertaining football that they're renowned for up in the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Throughout the years, we've always been that team that goes at you. Under Tiernan, it was different. I'm not saying it was wrong or it was right. It's just the way he played football. It was more counter-attack, 3-5-2. It just didn't sit well with me. The fans are much more comfortable watching what we're watching now. But, I mean, what a game coming up. I mean, Dundalk are flying. I mean, you saw them in the match against Drogs. All right, they ended up 3-2. Could have been a little bit more. They created a lot of good chances. Derry are playing a lot more aggressive. The two wingers got a lot more freedom. The fullbacks are getting forward. I like what Mark's been doing. The whole manager situation, I would imagine they're just, I would wish they would come out and tell us, but I would imagine they're going to go with Mark to the end of the season and then try and get someone in. But
isn't there like the 60-day rule, you know, being in interim charge? I'm not too sure what the story is there, Vinny, would you?
Yeah, 60 days because he doesn't have a pro license. And I understand where Garrett's coming from and Derry City fans are coming from. But football management is about winning games, or it's you're out on your backside. Against Bowles, you know, follow what you want. I think some of the decision making around, yes, it's on the pitch, but there was a lack of organisation from them. Set pieces at the start of the second half, they got done off a set piece that Bowles done a couple of weeks before in Europe, so why wasn't that identified? And they probably went defensive a little bit too early in the game good at Agard as well. And these are all managerial decisions that Mark is probably too inexperienced to be making at the moment. And they've got to be careful. And I'm only playing devil's advocate, Gareth, here. People in Derry
might
like
but funny, you can't turn around and say, we know he's inexperienced. That's obvious. Yeah. The way you get experience is by playing matches and learning from your mistakes.
Yeah, but you had Gareth.
How they have scored the goal and went 4-1 up, they go on, they won the game, and everybody's talking, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. There's a fundamental change in and around the club, right, that we're feeling as fans. And it's a good thing, and Mark Conley's done that.
Okay.
Agreed, he's not going to win every match. I don't expect him to finish fourth. But there's positive signs there.
You can listen to the LOI pod in full on your OTB podcast feeds. Cork City are 2026 SEC Airtricity First Division champions. They confirmed their place in next year's top tier with a 1-0 draw at Bury Wanderers at the Carlow Grounds last night thanks to UCD and Cove Ramblers failing to win. With just six games remaining in the division, the Rebels can sit comfortably ahead of their return to the top tier of Irish football. Elsewhere in the First Division, Cove Ramblers and UCD played out a 1-0 draw. Athlone Town picked up a 1-0 away win over Finn Harps. And Treaty United suffered a 1-0 home loss at the hands of Wexford. Tonight, Longford Town welcome Kerry to Bishopsgate. That match kicks off at 7:30. Today, we have a full slate of women's Premier Division fixtures, as at 1:30, Bowes welcome PMH United to Dalymount Park. At 3:00, Cork City take on Sligo Rovers, and Shelburne travel to South Dublin to face DLR Waves. At 6:00, Wexford play host to Shamrock Rovers, while league leaders Athlone Town hope to beat Waterford. Finally, Galway United play Treaty United at AMDC Park. That match kicks off at 7:35. We are now in the second week of the new FAI National League, with six games taking place over the weekend. In Group 1, Lucan United take on Murphy United at 3:00, and Cockhill Celtic host Home Farm DC at 4:00. In Group 2, Letterkenny Rovers welcome Mayo at 4:00, while TD Dublin play Salt Hill Devon at 2:00 tomorrow. Finally, in Group 3, Killarney Celtic host UCC at 2:00, and Newbridge Town welcome Waterford Side Villa at 3:00. Next Friday in the Premier Division, Drogheda United welcome Sligo Rovers to Sullivan and Land Park, Bowes travel west to play Galway United, Shells take on Derry at Dunker Park, and Waterford play Dundalk. All four matches kick off at 7:45. And at 8:00, it's the South Dublin Derby as St. Pat's take on league leaders Rovers. In the First Division, with all matches kicking off at 7:45, champions Cork City take on fellow Cork side Cove Ramblers, Bray Wanderers travel south to take on Kerry, UCD welcome Athlone Town to the Bowl, and Wexford play Finn Harps. On Saturday, Longford Town welcome Treaty United to Bishopsgate. That match kicks off at 7:30. That is all we have time for in this week's edition of the LOA Wrap-Up. I'm Ross Flanagan. You can get more in-depth analysis, reaction and news from across the League of Ireland that got off the ball, including the LOA pod on Wednesday with Stephen Dahl, Vinnie Perth and Garrett McLean, LOA Late Night with Ben Slam, Shane Keegan and you, the fans, our live commentary next Friday, as well as our Irish football focus segments across Off the Ball and OTB Breakfast. I'll be back next week. Take care.
The LOI Wrap-Up.
Catch live and exclusive commentary of the League of Ireland Men's Premier Division.
All season on Off the Ball.
The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province.
Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.